Friends, it's good to be back with you, and if I can give you a piece of advice, I would encourage all of you, in the first 6 weeks of any given year, be gone three of them. It is outstanding, and it does a wonderful wonders for your spirit and renewal. Indeed, after the first 2 weeks, I left in the middle of the week to go, the middle of the month of January to go to Tanzania and spend 2 weeks with our mission team here from Bethel. It was tremendous. And I just got back, was here a week, and then just got back from my annual golf trip with my seminary friends. And it was also tremendous in a different way. But no less blessed. And so, here I am on this day, Transfiguration Sunday, a Sunday where we talk about the great mountaintop experience of Peter and James and John. And it seems appropriate as I have had two beautiful, blessed mountaintop experiences. From being with our mission team and seeing the incredible, geography and the sights and the smells and the sounds and, of Africa, as well as the wonderful missions that we are a part of. Seeing the young women who are a part of the Maasai Girls School and seeing their lives being changed on a daily basis. Seeing the medical miracle that is Arusha Lutheran Medical Center and the work that is happening there. Seeing the smiles on the face of the young children at the different schools that we help support. And seeing their excitement of possibilities that they have because of the work that you and so many others are doing to help bring about new life and new hope. Those are mountaintop experiences, as well as seeing beautiful animals that God has created, from giraffes to elephants to zebras to even a rhino and lions and all of those wonderful things. That was a mountaintop experience of which many of us said, I wish we could just stay here. I wish we could just stay and experience that beautiful thing. Likewise, this past week, being able to be with my best friends and being able to have time with them that was so special. One of my friends, Pastor James Armentrout, who is down at St. Mark's in Roanoke, he said the reason that we love getting together is it might be one of the purest forms of community that we'll ever experience. I mean, it's totally authentic, totally honest. Everybody knows each other so well. We know our beautiful things about us, we know the not so beautiful things about us, and we love each other so much, and we come together, and there is absolutely no pretense. And it is a moment where we can share about our lives and our ministry and be fed and nourished amidst wonderful time of community. So coming off the mountaintop to be here among you, it seems appropriate that today we are hearing the words and the story of the Transfiguration. Now, I'll have you, if you have your Bibles with you, you're welcome to turn to it, or you can just remember from other times. Our lesson today from the 9th chapter of Mark comes on the hills of chapter 8, of course. But chapter 8 is special because it is the point of the text of the Gospel of Mark where Jesus had just asked the disciples, so who do people say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you are right. And this is what this means. I am going to be handed over to the authorities. I'm going to be crucified on the third day, rise again. Peter says, no, that can't happen. Jesus, you're going to lead us to revolution. You're going to lead us into a place where we will take over our captors and oppressors. And Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you have set your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Peter has been chastised as powerfully as you can be chastised. And then our story occurs. And notice how ours begins. It says, now, 6 days later. And I wonder what those 6 days were like for Peter. He said, you are the Son of the living God. You're the one who's going to rescue us and lead us past our oppressors. And Jesus says, no. or at least not in the way, Peter, that you think I am going to do so. And you know those moments in your life when you've made a mistake or you've messed up or you've had a bad review from the boss or you've had other struggles. Know what that tension is like? Remember that? You know what that's like when you have to go back to work the next day or you have to go back to, go back home after you've upset your spouse or you have a relationship issue with one of your friends and you guys have to get together. You know that tension that's there? Well, imagine that's what that was like, right? And can you imagine what it was like when he goes, okay, come on, John, James, Peter, we're going on a mountain. Can't you just see Peter kind of hanging back behind James and John, kicking the dirt and being like, okay, Jesus, here I come, all right. I can't believe you said those things to me. Can't you see that? We've all been there, haven't we? Those moments in our lives where we have failed and our shame is real. Our hurts and our pains are raw. And at that moment, when Peter was experiencing that very real and universal experience, that's the moment that Jesus chooses to bring him along and to be on the mountain and to reveal his glory so that Peter, the one who was probably just not very excited about following Jesus, he had been hurt by Jesus, he was probably struggling with a lot of different things going on in his life and his faith, and then at that moment, it is all revealed for him, and he says, Lord, let's just stay here. Because you see, so often, those mountaintop experiences of our life, whether they be a trip to see missionary work in another country, or perhaps it was a women's retreat or a men's retreat or a Bible study that you were part of or a worship service that just spoke right to your heart. Isn't it interesting how they happen at exactly the right time? Mountaintop moments happen exactly when we need them, like they did for Peter. And in that moment, all we want to do is stay in that moment of grace and promise and hope and forgiveness and goodness. But the beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus says no. Jesus says we have to come down from the mountain. As much as we'd like, we had to come back from Tanzania. As much as I love my week at the beach with my friends, honestly, I think God knows that 5 days with those guys is probably enough for any of us. But it is still something you have to come back from. And in your own life, in our own life, we have to come down from those mountaintop experiences because the reality of Jesus' life is that he is the one who has come down to meet us in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our pains, in the midst of those moments where the disciples are arguing and frustrating each other. You see, because that's kind of like what real life is like, what normal life is like. Jesus comes down off that mountain and he leads us down from our mountaintops into the real life call of discipleship, where Jesus then remakes all of those moments of shame and pain and hurt. He comes down off of the mountain so that one day he will go up on the cross. And in that moment, meet us in our pain, in our brokenness, in our shame, and then renew it all. Notice at the end of our text, it says, do not say anything about all that you have seen until what? You can look. Until what? Until I have risen from the dead. Notice all of this doesn't matter until people understand that I am the one who can come down and take away the power and victory of death. That my glory is seen in the God who comes down and defeats that which takes life away. And instead, I'm the one that brings about new life. Don't say anything. You didn't notice, he didn't say don't say anything until I've gone up on the cross. Even though that is awesome and powerful and meaningful, he says don't say anything until the power of death and brokenness and shame and all of those things that would keep us in our moments of weakness and hurt, like Peter was experiencing. Don't say anything till you know that I have defeated it all. We are heading into the season of penitence, Lent, where we are to be mindful of the ways in which we are broken, and the way we sin, and the way we fall short. And that is important for us to do, yet never end there. Because when we remind ourselves of the things that we have done to fall short, the way we have been Peter and made our mistakes, let us make no mistake that those do not define us. Those are not the final word in our lives or in the lives of anybody else we know. No, the final word is the word of the God who has come down, the God who has come near, who has promised to be the one who gives you new life, who gives you hope, who gives you promise, and who gives you the forgiveness that we all desire. Lent, the journey, is a journey toward Easter. It is a journey that goes through the cross, but it is a journey that ends on the day we are reminded that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And that, my friends, is the greatest hope that we can ever have. And it is the greatest gift that you have been given. In Jesus' name, amen.